Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the sky above us today. I can't believe it, but it's already November 17th. We are closing in on the end, close to the end of the month. I can't even believe that, which means we're also closing in on the end of the year. So how are you doing? Right? How are you doing? It seems like a lot of states have gone backwards with the coronavirus fight, trying to, again, sort of keep things down to a dull roar in the stores and to limit how much activity is going on outside. This reminds me of where we were sort of in March, right? Where things were beginning to look really bad and we anticipated the stay home, stay healthy orders, whatever they were called in your areas. And here we are, we're seeing a sort of reprisal of the same energy, which I am not totally surprised by, as now Mars is in forward motion again. And we also have Jupiter and Saturn closing in on their conjunction that will happen at 0 degrees of Aquarius. And if you'll remember, the virus actually started to take a dip at the point in time where Saturn kind of dipped his toe into the sign of Aquarius, which was in early May through June. And then he retrograded back into the sign of Capricorn. And we saw another jump in COVID virus in around late June and July. So maybe there's something to be said about what's happening with Saturn and Jupiter and Pluto completing their journey, or at least Jupiter and Saturn getting ready to complete their journey in Capricorn, and with the possibility that Aquarius brings us new therapies or a vaccine or the virus itself kind of going away. So I have hope, right? I have hope that if we can just in the short term, while we're in these months where it's tricky because there's natural influenzas and viruses that go around, if we can just sort of keep our wits about us, do what we know is the best thing for us to do to be safe, wearing your mask if you're outdoors, staying home if you can, then we can maybe even see a sooner dying off of this virus. Wouldn't that be nice? This morning, I was reading an article early before I got on air. And it was on a website that one of my favorite websites to go to. It's called NeptuneCafe.com. And sometimes the writing on the site is a little bit heady. It's a little bit astrology speak. But today he was talking about, or I think on Monday they post new articles, he was talking about an asteroid named Hygieia, which represents our health. And it just triggered something in me that I want to go now and look up Hygieia in my chart and start to have a conversation about health, because Hygieia as an asteroid is a symbol that represents the intertwined snakes, like in the Caduceus, and the symbol of man beneath. And now I got to go look at the mythology behind her so I can bring that information out to all of you and see if, as I was thinking about, who was I talking to yesterday? I don't even remember now. Oh, Asa, I bet it was you. We were chit-chatting about the idea of who would be the ruling planet of a 13th sign, the sign of Ophiuchus. And I kept thinking Chiron. Then I thought there's maybe another body that hadn't actually shown itself to us yet. And now I'm wondering if it isn't perhaps Hygieia. We'll see. I got to check it out for all of you. So if you're just joining me this morning, welcome. We are going to chat today about the moon. Of course, her usual movement through the signs. Today she shifts out of the sign of Sagittarius and into the sign of Capricorn. And that sets us up for a couple of days of maybe getting knocked about a bit as we are in the process of rebuilding, regenerating, etc. And we'll talk about then the most important aspect of the day, which is Mercury in an opposition to Uranus. We talked a bit about this last week in reference to the new moon, as the new moon had Mercury and Uranus in an applying opposition, meaning they were moving closer and closer, ticking down the space between them, and were actually considered within orb of that opposition back on Friday and on Saturday, and then Sunday, of course, during the new moon, depending on where you were. For me, it was on, the new moon was on Friday evening or Saturday evening. For some of you, it would have been on the 15th in the early morning hours. So how does that play out? What can we expect? What should we, you know, do about that particularly powerful mind-altering aspect? So we'll take a look at that. And then a quick look at the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day. And then I want to share the 64 faces. I think we'll look at the Earth today. Maybe we'll look at the Sun as well if we have time. But I want to take a look at the Earth because the Earth is the one that's in the gate now called fulfillment. And it also raises the challenges for us to get to that fulfillment. And what does that mean for all of us? So I want to read that in Rosie Aronson's 64 Faces of Wisdom, or the Wisdom Keeper's Inner Guidebook, 64 Faces of Awakening, say it right. And we'll chat about that. So first, let me go back over here and check in with people, see how everybody's doing this morning. Good morning, Phantom Chroma. We haven't seen you in a while. It's great to see you. Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel, hello to you. Christine Buckingham says, good morning. Mimi, hello. Kathleen, hello. J-Lo, hello there. Mimi said, yes, I read Neptune Cafe yesterday. Very interesting. Didn't you think that was interesting? I don't even know what prompted me to go there this morning, maybe because I didn't get to yesterday. And it was a really interesting article about Hygieia. And I'm not even thinking I recognize the name from mythology. So now I mean, Hygieia, hygiene, health. I mean, there's that, you know, connection to the word itself. But I got to look her up in mythology and see what that was all about. J-Lo says, ha, funny. I was looking those up, the asteroids, but I am learning little by little. You know, and here's the thing about the asteroids. They can be very good when you're looking at or looking for a theme in a person's chart. So for example, this particular article was looking at the health of Joe Biden, and where Hygieia was going to give us this idea of the relative health. And of course, you know, with a couple of challenges, it really looks like he's in good health, and how his view of health will affect the world, or the at least the country, as we go forward in through the inauguration. And you can do that with almost anything. So apparently, astrology can be very complex, but you can literally find an asteroid that represents anything. So anything in your life. There are even asteroids named after you. Right? Your first name, Debbie, your first name, Mimi, your first name, Janet. So we can likely find an asteroid, and you can find it in your chart and see what it's, what's up with that particular asteroid. So like I said, it can get very crazy, but when you're looking for a specific information, like if you want to know about health, the health of a person, then that natural inclination would be to go to the one thing that really represents health, and where is it in the chart? So I should have, there's, you know, hundreds of asteroids out there, hundreds of them, thousands maybe, and it would be very difficult to know them all. But some of them are key to things like war or conflict or peace or health. And you can look those up individually. So I just follow the lead where it takes me. So that's where it's going to take me. And I'll take a look and see what that means for all of us. Good morning, Leilani. And good morning, Asa. Great to see you. Leilani says, I like the magic asteroid, or maniac asteroid, not magic. See, my mind wanted to see magic and you were on the maniac. There probably is a maniac asteroid. I don't doubt that in the least, as these asteroids are named after, I mean, everything, right? So funny stuff. And I don't know as much as I need to know to be able to speak intelligently about even Hygieia at this point in time. So I'll go looking for the information and bring it back to you. Or of course, you're always welcome to go looking for that information yourself. So today, right now, it's 10 minutes after 8 or 9 minutes after 8 my time. The moon is still in the void. She will break that void at 8:35 my time, and she will then be out of the sign of Sagittarius and into Capricorn. I feel like I didn't even really get to experience her in Sagittarius, at least not with any consciousness, because I didn't even realize she was in Sag until yesterday morning. How funny is that? So I feel like I got cheated in the Sagittarius time or area of my life. But isn't it interesting that something that I want to go delving deeper into showed up in the last degrees of Sagittarius moon, which is now at 29 degrees. My own sun in Gemini sits at 28 degrees. So that sets up an opposition, something I don't know that I need to go out and find. I love it. So sometimes those things happen in the right and perfect timing, even if the moon was in a wobble. And I'm telling you, the moon this morning in this waffling, wobbly, wandering time really got to me because it was 7:20 and I suddenly realized I hadn't really even put much together about what I was going to talk about today because I was doing other things that I probably shouldn't have been doing first thing in the morning. It was too funny. So today luckily was a light day, so it didn't take me long to put this together. So the only aspect today that the moon is making will be later on in the morning, and that is a trine to Uranus in Taurus. So Capricorn to Taurus means element of the same kind, earth. So we have an earthy quality to the day as time goes on. The trine to Uranus is an ease and a flow of energy. And because Uranus is also taking center stage with a Mercury opposition today, then it bears watching what it is emotionally that's triggered for you in the next few hours. Because as that trine gets stronger, the Mercury opposition to Uranus is getting stronger at the same time. And what is that bringing to you? So let's take a look at maybe what some of the themes might be in Capricorn, and then we'll dive into what the Mercury opposition to Uranus might bring us. And maybe you'll gain some insights. So of course, every time the moon changes signs, it changes up the emotional atmosphere, let's say, the things that we're focusing on. Because we're emotional beings, we are following the moon, because the moon is representing how our emotional well-being, our emotional health, or the emotional atmosphere, if you will. So today, the emotional atmosphere gets all business-like as it turns into the sign of Capricorn, a sign of business, a sign of government, a sign of structure and form, a sign of doing things in a very stepwise progression, following your goals and achievement and success all fall into the sign of Capricorn. And so the moon's connection here would be the emotions that we feel around such things. So the first area of concern is time, as Capricorn ruled by Saturn, who in Roman mythology was Kronos. Time rules our future needs, not the future itself, but what we might need in the future that we have to take care of today, right? So our future needs, for example, retirement, or facing your old age, or creating, if you're just building a new family, right? You've just maybe gotten into maybe early motherhood, and now you need to build this foundation that is going to be secure and stable for your children. So timing, right? Wherever you are in your life, looking at what the foundation is, how stable is it, how secure is it, and how can we, you know, make that stronger as we move forward into time? Now, mostly though, this rules time in the older end of things. So older age, retirement, etc. But if you want to apply it to where you are currently in your life, there's no harm doing that as well. Looking at what can make things stronger for you to move into a future. It also rules responsibility, self-discipline, being an adult, right? Being mature, being able to keep your commitments and keep your word and do what needs to be done that is sustainable, right? There's that word, sustainability, good stewardship. It also is concerned with our public image. What do we look like out in the public? How do we present ourselves out in the public? Is it that we are more Uranian, where we're being crazy or contrary or rebellious, or is it more Saturn, where we're responsible, we're mature, we're disciplined, we're goal-oriented? So today, looking at that, or for the next couple of days, looking at that part of your life. Capricorn is also a sign of goals. So our ambitions and our drive to move forward, to achieve through hard work, through professionalism, and through being there, right? Showing up, doing your due diligence, right? Taking the steps necessary to move forward toward your goals in order to get another thing that Capricorn rules, which is success, right? There's this karmic nature of Saturn. And we often, as astrologers, talk about him in the more negative aspect of karma, sternness, doing what you have to do, responsibility, discipline, building a foundation. But guess what? When you do all that stuff, right? When you follow the rules, if you will, I'm quoting the rules, like the idea of how we grow and moving through your goals, etc., then success is another thing that Saturn brings us, or in Capricorn, as Saturn's rulership over Capricorn brings us success and recognition and accomplishments and an ability to move up in our social status. So all of that is also a part of the moon now in Capricorn. Capricorn as a sign is also about management, respect, right? The respect we have for one another within our business, but within our relationships as well. Being able to delegate responsibility. If you're someone who likes to take it all on yourself, you may be learning this particular type of lesson. Or on the other end, you may need to learn the lesson of being in charge, being the leader. And what does that mean to have to lead and to find respect in leadership? Excuse me. It's been chilly, so we've had to turn on the heat, finally. So the air is drier. So sorry about that. Authority figures also under Capricorn's rulership, with fathers, your boss, or being the boss, and also our traditions, the more traditional way of being, and reputation, all very important under the sign of Capricorn. Now, as always, there's always the negative, right? The possibility that we might express in the negative, which in the sign of Capricorn might be in being overly or excessively controlling. There may be an excessive sternness, right? Being all serious and not finding the laughter or the joy in life. In fact, lack of joy is on the negative spectrum through Capricorn energy. Pessimism, being inflexible, justification, self-justification, being, you know, self-justifying why you did or didn't do something that you should have done or shouldn't have done. In the body, you can see the connection to form and structure in Capricorn and Saturn because of the rulership of the bones, the joints, the connective tissues, so your ligaments and all of that. Conditions such as arthritis or gallbladder disease come through the sign of Capricorn because of Saturn being the ruler here. As well, the knees as a structure, right? They really form the structure of all of the things that we're able to do walking upstairs, walking downhill, walking uphill, just supporting the weight of the upper body, all falls to the joints there in the knees. And then as well, the skin, right? The skin as the structure that holds it all together, right? What would you be without your skin? Are in the rulership of Capricorn. So the reason that we look at these particular things in the body is because you all have Capricorn somewhere in your chart. And you can see that these connections sometimes, if you're starting to have knee issues, then you can look to Capricorn or to where Saturn is in your chart. And the fact is that Saturn has been running through Capricorn, a sign he rules now for almost, 2.5 years, is preparing to leave that sign. And what we're doing now is sort of a retrospective, going back over these last 2.5 years to see what it is that we've learned. What is your body showing you now about what you might have done well, about what you might not have done so well, giving us this last opportunity between now and December 21st anyway, to look back, to do that retrospective and to see what it is that might still be left undone. What is it going to take to get you to, let's say, success? What goals were you really good at, you know, going in a stepwise progression to accomplish? Which ones weren't you able to do? Where are you on the level of response ability, or are you still finding yourself in reactionary energy? Remember, the moon's ruler, Cancer, is the opposite sign to Capricorn. And sometimes when we are in one sign, we draw in energies from the polarity point, which in this case, with the moon in Capricorn, we're drawing in from the moon's rulership of Cancer. And likely it's not so much the positive side of the moon in Cancer, it is the more negative possibilities, the things like being overly emotional, being reactive instead of responsible. So we want to watch for that kind of behavior today as well, because the oppositions, remember, pull things apart. We're moving in two different directions. So where Capricorn wants to be less emotional, more objective, the moon's rulership of Cancer, the opposite side, ensures that there are going to be some very powerful emotions. What are you doing with that emotion? Are you responding appropriately or reacting? So we may be dealing with that for the next couple of days. All right. Questions, comments about the moon in Capricorn. Kamala, good morning to you. Adrian Jones, good morning. Christine Buckingham. Therius and Borassisi asteroids are troublemakers. I love it. Therius is the hunter stalker, and Borassisi is called Maya illusions by Hindus. Ooh, and you know, see, that's the other interesting thing. There aren't only asteroids named after Greek or Roman gods. There's a whole nother pantheon of characters out there from other cultures that are also incorporated. Hindu, Aleutian Island, Eskimo, the Pacific Northwestern, Native Americans, all these different aspects and different mythologies. For example, Sedna is an Inuit myth that is incorporated now as an asteroid that we are actually, closer in looking at more deeply in these particular days, as she, Sedna, really represents a process of maturing, getting more into being responsible for our own selves as we kind of cut the strings to our parents or to our past or to being taken care of, etc. So it's fun to see all of the different asteroids that are out there. Monique Alexander, good morning. Ursula Angelicus, good morning. Made it. I love that you've changed your name. I love it. I love it. J-Lo, ha! I have my knee that got re-injured, have nothing in Capricorn, 8th, but I have big Saturn 13 degrees sitting in Cancer on the second house opposing that. And it's not that you have nothing in Capricorn, because you do right now by transit have these planets, Pluto, Jupiter, Saturn, Pallas Athena, moving through your 8th house of transformation. And a knee here might say, where are you dragging? Where are you dragging the past along with you as you move forward, or where are you hesitant to move forward? What's stopping you from moving forward, from transforming? So you don't look at just your birth chart. You also have to look at what's transiting across it, because that's what's driving the events that are going on in your life right now. So does that make sense to everybody? So for example, right now we're talking about the moon in Capricorn. So that is affecting your birth chart, but by transit, we also have planets that the moon is going to stimulate or trigger as she's moving through there. First, she's going to come into Pluto, then she's going to hit up Jupiter, then she's going to hit up Pallas Athena, then she's going to hit up Saturn. And one by one, the issues around those planets get triggered. So that's the point, right? To watch these things. Just like when anything is going through Taurus or Scorpio by opposition, we're going to get the trigger to Uranus from that particular planet. And who do we have in Scorpio right now but Mercury? Mercury, the planet of communication, of motion, of movement, of our mind and our thinking processes. And he comes to an opposition today with the planet Uranus in Taurus at the opposite end. And Uranus is the great awakener, right? The rebel, the liberator, right? His whole process is about liberating us from any chains that bind. And the chains that bind here in an opposition to Mercury have to be up here, right? Going on in the mind. And so what we have today is this opposition pulling these two pieces apart, right? Asking us to really elevate our thinking, to let go of the old monkey mind, the stinking thinking of the mind, and move more into an alignment with our hearts, letting love rule as opposed to the lower energies of, say, disappointment, disillusionment, anger, or upset. So today, in this opposition, at least for some people, this may be a day of confrontation, right? A day of communication that pits us one against another, right? Where one person in a set mind, a mindset that won't yield, right? A defined ajna, a defined head, against the openness, right? The open-minded, the possibility of the future, the possibility of what comes next. So we may be in this confrontation. What else is new? We've been in a confrontation forever. Polarized, right? Dividing, pulling apart. Today, the challenge may be to think more clearly, to think more quickly, to be able to see our options, to see beyond the rhetoric, to see beyond the words, to see into the potential, the expression of the future, to make more connections to new ideas, turning what you normally think upside down, shaking it up first, maybe, turning it upside down, and refusing to go down the path that you've always gone down, right? This is that gate 64 or gate, 6124, where we are in that channel that's connecting the head and the ajna, right? That's the only channel that's defined this week, as we looked at the chart yesterday. And what we see there is psychotic thinking, right? Psychosis at the gate 61, instead of tapping into the wonder and the awe and the possibilities, we tap into what we think. We get caught up in our own minds and in our own thinking, and we refuse to yield, right? We refuse to yield because we can't see beyond the nose, right? We can't see beyond. So today, while we may be thinking more clearly, we may be thinking more quickly and being able to see all those connections, it's going to take our consciousness in deciding to think differently in order to make things change, just because of the nature of the fixed channel that's connecting those two centers. If you're having computer or technology challenges, this is one of those times. Uranus rules the higher tech, right? The computer chips, the high-tech satellites and et cetera, those kinds of things. And the internet is ruled by more like Mercury and Gemini energy down here. And there can be this conflict going on across that. Some of you may feel tense or anxious today and with no real reason, can't put my finger on it. You might feel scattered today where you can't quite come into a focus. Your mind is moving in 100 different directions all at one time. You might have to do something really interesting today that relates to the Pleiadian Earth energy of the 13-day period, which is taking extra care to listen today. Maybe zipping your lip, and instead of getting caught up in a confrontation or an argument, listen deeply to what's being said or to what is trying to be communicated, listening even to your own voice of intuition, the inner you, what is it trying to convey? And without taking the time to listen, you might miss the message because you're too busy talking, right? Have you ever gotten on the phone with a friend who, no matter how many times you try to talk, you don't get to talk because that person's too busy talking? I get into those kinds of conversations all the time with certain people. And I just like, okay, so maybe my job is to listen here. And I just be quiet and listen because I can't do anything else at that moment. So listening today, there may be a certain amount of rebellion and contrariness moving through the field as well. Uranus loves to be that rebel. He loves to be that contrarian. And Uranus is retrograde. And when he's retrograde, he is more of the contrarian. So, you know, people picking fights for no reason other than to just be contrary, right? To just be the debater and see things from a different point of view. So our jobs today in this kind of energy is the same that I've been preaching for a while now. Keep an open mind and keep an open heart. Open heart, open mind, embracing people at a level of love and embracing the world at a level of love and not a level of what's going on in our puny little peopled world, right? All of those things fall away when we tap into a bigger order of love in the universe and how we're all connected and not how we're all different, right? How do you want to connect up, right? That's the question. So this energy will likely be with us for a few more days still. And so just being aware, right? Just today's the exact, but we still have the waning aspect, and that will take a couple of more days to let go of. And I wanted to see something really quickly. We don't have another Mercury. Nope, we're lucky. No other Mercury triggers for the rest of the week. So when we're done with this one, take a pause, take a breath, right? And let that one pass through. Today's Pleiadian Earth energy is 6, loving. I love it. This is the Lamat in Mayan, in the Mayan calendar, which represented the Venus star. And by the way, I keep meaning to tell you guys this, and then I keep forgetting, is that, did you know that Pia Orlean also does Pleiadian Earth readings, Pleiadian Earth astrology readings? And I asked her to do one for me. And of course it was amazing. It was an amazing reading. A lot of things that I already knew about myself and about what my role here is on the planet, but some new things too, as her readings are so complete. She even asks you to bring out the birth dates of the people most important to you, like the top three. And I said, well, unfortunately there's six in my family, if you count my spouse and my 4 kids. And she graciously agreed to do that many. But you get this beautiful picture of the Venus star. And I may look up Ariel Gutman myself and try to see if she has classes on reading the Venus star, because it was profound. It was profound. So I encourage all of you, go to Pia's website, piaorlean.com, and hit her up for a reading. You may have to wait a couple of weeks because she's very thorough and she does these things not with a program that just spits out a bunch of stuff, right? She does this by hand. And it was a fascinating experience. And then I had my follow-up with her on Sunday morning when I was in Vancouver. And I got more insight from actually working with her one-on-one as well. So take her up on it. I don't recall what she said the cost was, but I think it would be worth it to do that. All right, so that's my little plug for Pia. Today's Pleiadian Earth energy is 6, loving, as I said. So today's a day to go with the flow, right? Go with, not against, the flow of energy. If you're coming up against some kind of obstacle, what do you do with that, right? You stop for a moment anyway, just stop, right? Don't keep trying to plug ahead and hit that obstacle over and over again. Give yourself a moment to see what's opening up. What are the signs around you pointing you to? What's going on within you, and how do you feel about where you need to go next? So go with the flow, not against the flow. Remember, like water, water rolls over, under, around. Sometimes it's dammed up for a time being, and then you get a ravaging windstorm, rainstorm, and it moves the water and things are sloshing, right? So water, go with the flow, right? Not against the flow. And then loving energy, the Lamat Venus star energy, is about lovingness, right? Being in love and loving. But what happens first is that unconsciously, Lamat energy or loving energy stirs up the pot. It stirs up conflict, right? Bringing it up to the surface so that you can practice moving back into love, right? Moving back into love and the expression of consciousness with love. So I would fully expect a day like today, there would be conflicts, right? Maybe it's an inner conflict, a conflict between you and another person. And that stirs up that pot. And the chance then for you is to become more conscious about how you apply love in that situation. So often people who were born on loving days, they play that role, that dual role of once being a provocateur, and then on the other hand, bringing it all back to love, right? They themselves going through this process of transforming that anger or upset or that conflict into using, applying love and transforming it into a loving way back to the heart. So I love this kind of a day because I almost think we need to welcome sort of those places within us where we're still in that conflict, and to be able then to apply consciousness to that so that we can be more loving. Okay, Asa, love you, love you, love you, love you. She's saying she has a migraine, so she's leaving us this morning. Take care, sweetheart. Migraines are such a mess, right? And I'm sure a lot of people are probably experiencing migraines because of Mars now moving direct again and picking up speed. And Mars in Aries, a sign that rules things like headaches and migraines. So sending her much healing energy, and hopefully she can get through this quickly. All right, that's it that I have to share with that. Let's take a look now. I just realized that means I'm going to have to go looking for questions myself. J-Lo, thank you very much. Please take a moment to hit the thumbs up button to show that you love what I'm talking about and for the information. And thank you, J-Lo, for being that reminder. If you haven't yet subscribed, please subscribe. And next to the subscribe, you're going to see a little bell. And if you want to be notified when I come on air, you can click that bell and it'll give you some options as to how you want to be notified, when you want to be notified, etc. And I certainly appreciate everybody's support in that way. Let's see. Ursula says, yes, it's still me. Ha ha. I'm claiming my inner shift. I'm super excited about next steps. Nice. I love that. Christine, is the reading by phone? I did mine by Zoom, and that's because I'm very comfortable with that. Now, you have to remember, they live on the island of Cyprus over in the Mediterranean, somewhere over there. And so time zone wise, she was at 5 o'clock in the evening while I was at 7 o'clock in the morning. So there's a time, you know, chunk that's different there. And I don't know about phones in that respect then, because that would be, if you have long distance, perhaps that works. I don't know. Sorry. But she does do by Zoom, and Zoom also has the ability to use phone. So you could look at that, Christine. But it's what she sent me first was like a 25-30 page report. And she allows you to ask a specific question as well. Like, do you have a question about what's going on or what's uppermost in your mind? And my question was about my daughter and something that she's struggling with. And I got amazing answers to that question. So definitely it was worth it to me for that purpose, to have something that I could show my daughter about what's going on with her. So definitely worth it. Look at that. Wonderful. Everybody sending out healing energy to Asa. So later when you check in, Asa, you're going to have a bunch of love coming your way. And you're most welcome, Christine. Okay, so quickly, we actually have time. I want to read about the Earth's placement in your human design this week at the gate eight. I find the gate eight to be a difficult place, right? A difficult place. It sits on the throat center. And its energy is coming up to the throat from the gate one, which is where the sun was at last week. And that energy comes from the soul, right? It's coming up from the soul and it comes up through to the throat. But it is a place that could be highly vulnerable for people, vulnerable to criticism, vulnerable to, you know, you dip your toe in and maybe you get some kind of blowback or some response from people that you didn't really expect. And now you feel criticized or judged and you tend to come back in and crumple up. And then maybe you dip your toe out there again. And so this is a process then of really owning your contribution, because that's what this card or this card, that's what this gate is all about, is wanting to make that contribution, to be able to find fulfillment in contributing to the world or to the something, to an organization or to the family, whatever it is for you. So I find that when the Earth is sitting at that particular gate, then we are calling into question each individually about our individual contribution that we're making to the planet. So today, then, the Earth at the gate eight is in the shadow of mediocrity. The gift is style, doing it your way. And the siddhi is exquisiteness. And it says style is more than skin deep. It is the cutting edge of creation itself. Here's the wisdom story. When I was a little girl, I sang everywhere and I went all and let's start that again. When I was a little girl, I sang everywhere I went and all of the time. I was so full of music, it just burst out of me. My mother raised me on her own. She was deaf, so she couldn't hear me sing, although she could see the surprised and offended looks on people's faces when we went out together. She herself had worked so hard to fit in that she felt embarrassed by my singing and worried for me. So she shushed me when we went out and put me in a school where singing was forbidden. I instinctively understood she was trying to protect me, and I loved her. So I learned to swallow my voice and blend in. Remember, it's on the throat center. I became just like everyone else, a pleasant student, an unthreatening classmate, an obedient daughter, and a model of mediocrity. I followed all of the rules. My teachers liked me. My mother was proud. And as a young woman, I had everything I was taught to want, a respectable and substantial place in the world, manicured nails, the latest fashions, a respectable job. But it was all artificial. When yet another marriage fell apart, I couldn't deny the truth anymore. I wasn't happy. I felt trapped, almost wooden. On the surface, my life seemed shiny, but it was flat. Nothing truly glowed until I found myself walking past a park that was filled with all kinds of people, the kind I normally avoided like the plague. They were drumming and dancing in a circle with such abandon that they didn't even seem to care if anybody was watching. Someone grabbed me by the hand and I found myself leaping into the center of the circle. And the next thing I knew, my eyes closed, body swayed, and my own voice started ringing out. I felt alive again. I was too happy and terrified to hear the applause. That was long ago. It took me many years to integrate the courage I experienced that day, to work through my fears of both succeeding and failing. Now, of course, I sing everywhere and all the time, whenever my rebel soul moves me to, and I think just as freely as I sing. My gift to you. I have a hunch there is a voice in you longing to be heard. I am here to encourage you to stop worrying about blending in. Dare to be an original. Don't just follow the trends. Be a rebel with a cause. Embrace your own style and let it come from deep inside. When I see you doing something that others may think is crazy or too much, I know that you are as sane can be. Maybe there are people who won't stick around. I understand how painful that can be. I also promise you there will be others who will be so inspired by your style that they'll catch the authenticity bug. So please get comfortable with being a fringe dweller. Trust that the world will catch up with you in its own good time. No matter what your passion is, give it some air, set it free, and expect nothing less than exquisiteness. I love it. Here are some questions for contemplation. In what ways did you learn to blend in to be like everyone else? Where are you still blending in but secretly wanting to leap out? What would you do if you weren't afraid of what others would think of you? Is there a risk you've been longing to take in service of a passion, but you've been afraid of failure or success? What is your fear? Where can you receive support and encouragement? And how can you coax out your individual creative style? Complete this sentence. When I am in my exquisiteness, I am blank. Repeat as many times as you like and write what emerges in your journal. Oh, fantastic. Gotta love the gate eight. So the gate eight triggering the earth, triggering the movement toward the sun, right? So I think I have time. If you guys have questions, you're gonna have to wait for 1 second here while I go back. No questions. Good. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and go and read the sun's placement as well. The sun is at the gate 14, the gate of competence, which that is the, oh, wait, I didn't show you the card, did I, guys? Oh my goodness. Here was the card of style, the get card for eight, style. Look at her. Lovely. Okay. Now the gate 14, another face. that one really looks like style, doesn't it? His own unique path there. And that is the gate 14, competence, right? Competence is the gift. Okay, so here we go. So the gift is competence, the shadow is compromise, and the Siddhi is bounteousness. I love that word. Competence carries within it efficiency, enthusiasm, flair, and flexibility, the four keys to material success. Here's the wisdom story. I was born a prince, but my family was exiled from our country. To survive, my parents wiped the royalty out of our past. We became a normal family in a normal world. We lived in a modest home. I went to a conventional school. I was taught to want what everyone else wanted. And as I became a young man, I worked like everyone else to attain stability and success. I got married, studied hard, and found respectable jobs. I made money and received recognition. Lots of recognition. I never loved what I did, nor did I expect to. What mattered was that I played by the rules, provided for my wife, and was winning the game. But as time passed and my status grew, so did a sinking feeling in my gut. I felt trapped and devoid of passion, as if something important was missing from my life. So my wife and I decided it was time to have children. But no matter how hard we tried, we couldn't conceive. The more frustrated, ashamed, and impotent I felt, the harder I struggled to prove myself in the professional world. I was willing to compromise everything for success, including my health and intimacy in my marriage. As my wife and I drifted apart, my body began to suffer. Despite my stubborn attempts to deny my pain, my wife finally confronted me one night. Peering into my dulled eyes, she gripped my shoulders and exclaimed, "Enough! No more success. It's killing you. It's killing us, and it's never going to fill the hole inside of you." Then with great tenderness and sincerity, she asked me what it was that I truly dreamed for myself and for my life. If I wasn't worried about providing for her or so enslaved by success, what did I truly want? Great questions. In that moment, I realized I had never asked myself that question in my entire life. Tears rolled down my face like an undammed river. Together with my wife, I learned how to dream again. Eventually, we grabbed hold of our souls, let go of the empire, and embarked on an unexpected adventure. It was nothing less than pure enthusiasm that led us back home to my country of birth and ultimately awakened my true competence. Now I am far from normal, a king devoted to serving and protecting thousands of returning child refugees. My wife and I love each other and all that we do. My enthusiasm is so contagious that the children can't help but follow their hearts. Here's my gift to you. I am here to remind you of your dreams and to encourage you to take an honest look at your life. It is time to put the fire back into your belly and to stop making compromises. The more you compromise, the more trapped you will become in a life that isn't even yours. You were born to inherit a rich, fulfilling, and harmonious life and to experience competence. I see you cutting through obstacles, loving what you do, becoming a magnetic original. I love that, a magnetic original. And adapting creatively to each new synchronistic opportunity that comes your way, open to the bounteousness that awaits. Questions for contemplation. What are you compromising in your life? Where are you settling? Where are you leaking precious energy? Think of a time you had fire in your belly. What does competence mean to you? And when have you felt the most competent in your life? Do you share the bounteousness of your gifts with others? What dream is asking to be pulled out of the closet? Find a way to rekindle a dream and share your bounty today. Woohoo! Right? I don't even think I have words to add to that one. It was so good. All right, last look at comments or questions. Let's see what everybody's saying. J-Lo, tiptoes quietly. I believe they are speaking to me. hello, right? Knock, knock. Wake up, J-Lo. Andy Girl, hey, everyone. Wishing you all a great day. Same to you, Miss Andy Girl. Kathleen Mallory, thank you for reading these story cards. I love them. Yeah, and thank you to Rosie Aronson for writing them. She's an amazing writer, as she puts so much passion and picture into her words. It's really, truly amazing. I think in the last couple of minutes here, I will do something I meant to do yesterday and forgot, and that is to pull us a card for the collective and our spirit card, right? A spirit animal card that we like to have as our guide for the week. And by the way, I did not hear from any of you yesterday as to what it was you might want to start learning on our Wednesday morning astro lessons. There are lots of things, different directions we could go. For one thing, we talked about the houses, right? The last 12 weeks, we were working through each of the houses, but there are also the planets. There are also the aspects. You know, when I say a square, what does that mean? There are configurations, a yod, the finger of God, a kite, a mystic rectangle, a grand trine, all a grand square, a cardinal square, right? All kinds of different things that we could be talking about. What do you want to hear next? Right? I didn't hear from a one of you. And the way you can tell me what you want to do is to go down to the bottom of the video on the YouTube channel or right here, and you can put it in the chat or in the dialogue below the video, right? Or you can, I suppose you can do it in the chat as well, although I don't see that afterwards. You could probably email that to me, although my email is being very glitchy these days. Maybe the best way is to go to the Living Astrology community page and put it in there. All right, so the card, our animal spirit guide this week that I just drew was Dolphin Spirit, that says this and that are true. And it's card number 20. It came out upside down. So we're going to be reading the protection message, the dolphin spirit. Lots of joy there, I think, in the dolphin. Card 20, which makes it a 2. Okay, so dolphin spirit, this and that are true. And the protection message says, when you most want to be acknowledged as right, in quotes, and see others as wrong, in quotes, dolphin spirit appears as a reminder that the story of your suffering and righteousness is a little more complicated than you are admitting right now. Do you want to see things in black and white and be rigid in your ideas of what's correct and what is not? Release your rigidity and embrace the fluidity of life as you recognize the grays that remind you there are two sides to every story, an upside to each downside, and a blessing in every challenge. What you think is wrong may end up being right for you. So let dolphin spirit soften your heart so that you make the best decision at this time, playing with the possibilities that present themselves. Oh my gosh. Wow. That totally matches everything we've been talking about, including my keywords for 2021, which right now seem to be possibilities, going back to sustainability and conscious connection, I think is the next keyword. So there we have a great card for us to be a model of for the week. All right, everybody, that is it for me this morning. I'm going to go check real quickly, see if people here are saying anything. So JLo's vote is for the aspects so we can learn to read our own charts. That's a cool one. That was the whole purpose, by the way, is to, you know, break down the chart so that you can read your own chart so that you can understand me when I'm saying, and this is an opposition or this is a square. So maybe that'll be the next thing we do, go into the relationships that the planets might have to one another. So I'll wait and see what other people say as well. But that's a great one, JLo. I've been kind of thinking that that was the next direction too. All right, everybody, take care. I'll see you tomorrow. Remember, it is tomorrow's Wednesday night. I'm doing a final broadcast with Anaya and Carol Ann on the solar plexus mutation. That will be at 5:30 p.m. West Coast time, 8:30 p.m. on the East Coast. It should be a great one as we kind of bring all the points together of what is going on in that solar plexus mutation. So take care, everybody. Have a great day. Christine says she seconds the aspects. Awesome. And I will see you in the morning. All right, guys. Bye for now.